this house yesterday, but today is a brand new day. And we need to get some fresh manna, a fresh word from God. And we have a young man with us today who is from Little Rock, Arkansas. He has worked beside his father all of his life. Tremendous young man. He is going to come and share the word of God. And I believe he's got something for us from the Lord. Let's just open our hearts and receive what this young man, this man of God from Little Rock, Arkansas has for us. Put your hands together and let's welcome Nathan Holmes from Little Rock, Arkansas to preach to us this morning.
Hallelujah. Come on now, let's return that praise to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands, lift your voices. Let's worship Him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank God. I'm happy to be here today. And I was thinking, my dad likes to tell the story. When I was a lot younger, I had a problem with talking too much. And one day we were riding down the road, and my dad had taken all he could take. And he told me, he said, "Why don't you just be quiet?" And I retorted back and said, "Well, I'm only getting out about half of what I really want to say." And that's really the way I feel today. And when I think of the good people that's been in my life and all the wonderful elders and all the great friends that has been in my life, and I really want to give special appreciation to this executive council, Brother Booker, Brother Kuhn, Brother Johnny Godare, Brother Kenny Godare, Brother Floyd Odom, and Brother Nathaniel Wilson. I greatly esteem these men. I thank you for staunchly supporting the truth. Thank you for pouring yourselves into young men, preaching to us. I really appreciate it. And to all the other ministers of the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship, I honor you today. To the people from my home church, I love you. I appreciate you being here today. And I couldn't go any further without giving honor to the memory of my grandfathers, Bishop A.L. Holmes and Bishop Murray E. Burr. And I give honor to my grandmother, Sister Agnes Holmes, Sister Hattie Burr. And I also give honor to my parents today. I know whose shoulders I'm standing on, and it's because of their goodly heritage that they've given me that I'm here today. And I appreciate you, Daddy, for letting me stand on your shoulders today. I'm thankful to be here, thankful my wife is here, my two precious children are here, and I'm happy to be here in this house today. Let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bible, I'd invite you to turn with me to Genesis, the last verse of the 11th chapter, Genesis 11:27. My, what good preaching we've been hearing around here. Thank you, Brother French. Thank you, Brother Kelly Patrick. Thank you, Brother Kuhn. And, of course, Brother Copeland last night. What mighty men of God. Genesis 11:27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance, and that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Today I want to preach from this thought: direct descendant or distant relative. Can we lift our hands and ask the Lord to be here in a special way? Lord, we need you today. God, I need you. Lord, I know my limitations. God, I need you today. I need you to speak to this people today, Lord. Use my voice, use my lips, that I may speak your word, Lord, today. Anoint us, God. Bless this congregation that's here today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated today. Genealogy is a major component of the Word of God. Matthew began his gospel with the genealogy of Jesus Christ. While many of us may breeze or even skip over all the names that are too difficult to pronounce, God had a purpose for including them in the Holy Writ. Hallelujah. We Southerners, we dearly love our genealogy. Our family tree is highly revered. In fact, we claim second, third, fifth, 20th cousins. It doesn't matter. If you're kin to us, you're kin to us. We love you. We know all the punchlines to all the relative jokes, including the family reunion ones. I remember as a little boy going into my Grandpa Burr's office, and I'd stare up at those old, darkly hued portraits of ancient-looking people. They seemed to be glaring down at me, and I'd look up to their lofty place on those walls of my grandpa's study. And I loved to hear about my bloodline. I loved to hear the myth, the legend. And I'd point to one portrait and I'd say, "Grandpa, who is this?" And he'd begin to tell the story of Dr. Timothy Burr, or the notorious former Vice President Aaron Burr, or his most revered relative of all, Robert E. Lee, the Honorable General of the Confederate Army. And as you read the Bible, you will see the importance of genealogy. You will see generational blessings and generational curses. And in the book of Genesis, we read of Terah, the father of Abraham, and how he left Ur with his family, with Abraham, with Nahor, with Haran, and he moved all the way up to the northern part of the Fertile Crescent. There are the crossroads between Canaan and Mesopotamia. And there in Haran, Terah died at the age of 250 years. And we see the introduction of the covenant of God upon Abram in Genesis 12 and 1. He said, the Lord said, "Get out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. You're going to be blessed. If people bless you, they'll be blessed. If people curse you, they will be cursed. And all of the families of the earth will be blessed." And so at the age of 75 years, Abram leaves Haran and he goes on a little journey down south to Egypt. And then he comes back up, heavy laden with blessings, overwhelmed by the blessings of God. And he makes his way into Canaan. And finally there comes a point where there has to be a separation. And in Genesis 13 and 8, Abram said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the right hand, the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. "Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. I want you to understand today that the divine blessing of God was upon Abram. It was upon his direct descendants. It was not necessarily upon his relatives that came with him. Lot was blessed by association with Abram. Many times there are people connected to our churches that are blessed by association. The boss gets richer because we're apostolic and we do things right. Our relatives are blessed because we live for God. We do what is right. A lot of people are blessed by association. But let me tell you, until you become a direct descendant of God, you will never receive the full package deal.
You must be a direct descendant. Distant relatives will never cut it. In my mind, I think back to those days in Haran. I think about Lot. And surely he remembered the hush-hush talk that Sarai said. There was a visit from Almighty God. God came down and spoke to Abram. The specifics of the plan were to go into Canaan and not to the eastern plains of Jordan. But you see, Lot saw what looked good to the eyes. And as time progressed and as the attractiveness of sin is, Lot no longer lived in the plain, but dwelt in the cities of the plain with his tent directed. I'm telling you one thing today. Where we direct ourselves, where we pitch ourselves is so important. And Lot directed his tent. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. Genesis 13:13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, he said, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. And so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, in the breadth of it. For I will give it unto thee. While God was expanding Abram's future, the forces of evil were drawing Lot closer and closer to destruction. While Abram was surveying his land, looking at the beautiful land God had given him, going northward, going southward, going westward, going eastward, looking at all the things that God had bestowed upon him, I believe Lot was in the city of Sodom scouting out the most fashionable neighborhoods of Sodom. While Abram's destiny was expanding at quantum leaps, Lot's future was diminishing faster than a late springtime frost. Hallelujah. Finally, there came a besiege on the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. The kings of Elam and Shinar come, and they meet in the valley of Siddim, and in the heat of this valley, oh, kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, they chicken out. They take off running toward the mountains. But they were pretty smart. They didn't just leave without anything. Before they left, they gathered up all the great possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah. They took Lot with them. They took all of his great possessions and they hightailed it to the mountains. And while Abram's possibilities were endless while he was scouting out the land, surveying it, looking at it, Lot was held captive by a decision that he had made many, many years before. You see, Abram finally gets the word that Lot's in trouble and he's captive. And so he takes 318 of his own men that were born in his own house, telling you, when you live for God, when you do the right thing, God will bless you abundantly. And he pursued the army 150 miles to Dan. And there he split up his company into two sections. And they attacked that place and they slaughtered them. And they returned all the people, including Lot, all the possessions, even the women. Everything was taken back to Sodom and Gomorrah. And I would have thought at this point, Lot would have said, you know, it doesn't make any sense for me to be a part of Abram. This living apart from Abram stinks. It's no good. But you know what happened? Lot had gotten, he'd gotten that glint of that city in his eye. And Lot continued to live in that city. The 15th through the 17th chapters of Genesis deal with the great covenant, the Abrahamic covenant that was made. Genesis 17:5-9 reaffirms this covenant. And he says, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Today we don't have time to look at the rest of the story of Lot and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, but I want you to understand that all that was rescued from those two powerful, beautiful, laden cities was Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. And it only happened after Abraham's intercession for Lot. The once greatly blessed Lot, laden with possessions, so blessed that the cattle weren't getting enough to drink, enough to eat, had to move. But he escapes from Sodom and Gomorrah with the clothes on his back. And as a result of incest by wicked daughters, children are born to Lot in sin. And an entire nation is birthed, the Moabites, distant relatives to the people of God. The objective today, as I preach the Word of God to all of us who are living many, many centuries removed from this account, is to receive the principle. You must be a direct descendant to receive the blessings of God. You've got to be a direct descendant. We've got to hold fast to the truth. It's got to be pure. It's got to be unadulterated. It's got to be the Word of God down in our hearts. I need some help, guys. Can you come read for me? I asked Brother Jackson, Brother Mills to read some scripture for me today. Hurry up. We got to hurry. I want to hear these two other men preach today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Galatians, the 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 6. You have to speak loud. The mics aren't on. No man disannulleth.
He saith not into seeds of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promises of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. Now the mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one.
Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster.
For ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you has been baptized into Christ,
Hallelujah.
Have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek.
Nor Greek.
There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's clap our hands for the Word of God. I'm happy to say today, we as an apostolic church know how to become direct descendants of Abraham. We understand that when you repent of your sins, and when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, there comes a new birth covenant. You become a direct descendant of God Almighty. I'm glad we don't have to change the plan today. I'm glad I have royal blood flowing through my veins. I'm not ashamed to be a direct descendant. I'm not ashamed to be apostolic. I'm not ashamed to lift up the name of Jesus. I'm glad I'm not some distant relative of the church, but I've been made a direct descendant. But my question to us today is, will we remain direct descendants? You see, Balaam realized that he couldn't prophesy evil of the Israelites. But he did remember Israel's propensity for and attraction to the heathen gods. You see, just get those girls to dancing in front of them and they'll go goo goo gaga and they'll intermarry with all the heathens and all the peoples of the land and they'll lose their identity. Hallelujah, but I'm here to tell us, hallelujah, the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship proclaims we are direct descendants. We're not interested in intermarrying with the religious culture of today. We're interested in remaining pure. We're interested in remaining like God wants us to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not of the persuasion to claim, Brother Goddard, some of these Trinitarians or other non-apostolic religious entities as brothers and sisters. But if I can I say it like this? There are many distant relatives to the church. In fact, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:5 about those of his day, and even in our day today, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. I'm here to tell us, oh God, I want to be pure. I want to be a direct descendant. I don't want to lose my identity. Hallelujah. Churches and pastors who have chosen to embrace the religious culture of our day are now only distant relatives of the pure apostolic message. Hallelujah. People who have chosen to go in hand with the ecumenical mumbo jumble of highly exalted theologians are now just distant relatives. No longer are they pure, direct descendants. I'm telling you, if we don't treasure, if we don't hold dearly to this message, if we don't proudly proclaim our Father, if we don't proudly proclaim our holiness standard, I hate to say it, but God will just move us out of the way and He'll make way for someone else. Just as Jacob intercepted the passing of the blessings of Abraham and Isaac from Esau, so will it be to those who fail to respect, appreciate, and honor our apostolic message. Hallelujah. I'm tired of the pressure of religious and even Pentecostals putting on the apostolic church. I'm tired of the pressure. I am glad to be apostolic. I'm glad to be one God, tongue talking, aisle rolling. I'm telling you, I get tired of hearing all the things that we've got to try to be like. All the programs we've got to implement. All the things we've got to do to be like everybody else. Let me tell you, God wants us to be different. We're His chosen people. Come out from the world. Be ye separate, Satan. Messiah. I hope a holy boldness arises in every young man that says, I'm going to be a direct descendant. I'm not going to water down the message. I'm not going to allow things to come in my church. I'm telling you today, it's all right if we want to sing a new song, but we better not forget the old songs. I don't know if this is good or not, but I think of myself as pretty progressive. But let me tell you, I don't want to be progressive to a fault that I lose my identity. I want to be a direct descendant. I'm not interested in being some distant relative that knew about the power of God, that knew about good old-fashioned Holy Ghost apostolic church. But I want to be a pure bride, without spot, without wrinkle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the question I ask this audience today, are we direct descendants? Or are we distant relatives? Are we direct descendants? Or are we distant relatives? Just remain standing. Romans, the 11th chapter, tells us of ourselves as being a wild olive tree and how we've been grafted into the tree. The Bible said that tree, that root system became our root system. I don't want roots in this world. My foundation is on an old grandpa that had a drum that went around beating it. People thought he was crazy, but he was really filled with the apostolic message and he loved Holy Ghost worship. I'm not ashamed! My heritage today was a grandfather who had an anointed pen to write words that charged the apostolic movement, and I'm not ashamed of that heritage. And so that wild olive tree was grafted in. We became a part. But you know what the scripture says, and this is what makes me tremble. Just as easily as God broke the branches of Israel from that tree, just as easily as he finally said, I've tried. I'm going to have to take you out. Just that easily can we, as a branch that's been grafted in, be broken off. I'm telling you today, I love this message. I esteem it highly. I don't trample on it. I don't make fun of it. Comedians may mock it. They can make fun of it. We can laugh about it. Let me tell you, it's no laughing matter. It's our heritage. It's what we are. It's what we are as a people. Today, I want to be a direct descendant. I don't want to be a distant relative. Come on, let's lift our hands. Talk to them.